Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Clarence Page is the Pulitzer Prize-winning syndicated columnist for the Chicago Tribune, a member of the Tribune's editorial board. Clarence, good morning. Where you are there in Washington, President Biden and Vice President Harris declared the Chauvin verdict a giant step forward, but not enough. But it is a start, isn't it?
Yes, it is, Bob. It's a big relief to a lot of people who feel now that justice has been served up to a point. We have a verdict, and the verdict is guilty on all three counts, and which is a decisive victory for those who saw the video and felt that Derek Chauvin was guilty. At the same time, now is always the question of how much of a sentence should he get. We'll find out in about 30 days. But meantime, though, here in Washington, President Biden and Vice President Harris did come out with a live statement. I'm trying to remember the precedent for this. I think this is the first time we've had a president and vice president come out right after the verdict in a case like this. But I think it's indicative of how important both Biden and Harris feel this issue is for the country and for their administration. I think we're seeing civil rights and justice rights emerge as a signature issue for Joe Biden's presidency.
You know, it was a wake-up call of sorts for me. I was watching, and I'm trying to remember, maybe CNN, but somebody was interviewing a black law professor, who was talking about his students, and he was in class when the verdict, right before the verdict was announced, and I think he said there were like 20 or 25 students, all African-American, and he said, he polled the students before the verdict, and he said, how many of you think that it will be a guilty verdict? And he said there were only like two or three who thought it would be guilty, and I thought that was very interesting.
Well, you know, Bob, we've seen a lot of disappointments over the last few decades. We can go back to Rodney King, which I guess was the first video case of police brutality case ignited by a video. I don't need to remind you of all the heartache that came when we had a not guilty verdict initially, and riots broke out in Los Angeles, and et cetera, et cetera. A federal case was brought, a federal civil rights case was brought, and there was some satisfaction there. Nevertheless, over the years, African Americans have just become accustomed to seeing not guilty verdicts in cases of police conduct. I heard one lawyer say only about 2% come back with a guilty verdict, because the public naturally has sympathy for the police, and so unless the case is really locked tight, and just imagine how different we'd be talking this morning if there had not been a video in the case of George Floyd. Would we be talking about him at all? I don't think so. So that is all a very dramatic moment for all of us to consider, and that's why we're seeing the George Floyd Justice Act that is now being introduced in Congress, maybe we'll see some more permanent changes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Among the cautionary statements I heard yesterday from people who were basically saying, well, hold on a second here. Remember, in this particular case, what was needed was overwhelming evidence, and you had the video. So this really, in many ways, this case, this verdict, an exception, not the rule, right?
Well, that's right. And because going back to Rodney King, we've had a number of cases where there was a video and you still didn't get a guilty verdict, even though it was a police officer shot somebody in the back. That kind of thing can really depress people on a massive scale and cause a lot of folks to feel very pessimistic about justice. And I don't know what my turning point was in the Floyd case. I think when I saw the police chief there in Minneapolis on the stand, vilifying one of his own police officers, I said, no, this is different. You know, I mean, the blue wall was cracked. Mm-hmm. And that's just how powerful this tape was. And I think the question is now, do we need to have a powerful tape to settle a case like this? I can't help but think about the case of a young the young Toledo boy who was mm-hmm. killed in Chicago here last week. I did a column on that. It was painful for me to write because that you see all this action going on in less than a second on the clock, on the video clock. And, you know, the boy raised his hands, but after he'd been told again and again, you know, raise your hands. And to me, I don't see, if we're just considering the record of police conduct cases, I don't see any disciplinary action against the officer, especially when, remember, Bob, just less than a month ago, we had four police officers, Chicago police officers, shot, four of them in a span of 2 weeks. These were separate incidents. And you can't help but think if you were an officer in this cop's position, you'd have that on your mind as at 2:30 in the morning. And I just don't see that case. Well, we will see. I'm not going to predict anything right now. But obviously, this issue is with us and will be with us in a number of cases that are just pending at the moment.
Your point is well taken. I couldn't agree with you more. You can't lump all these cases under one umbrella. And in the case of the Toledo tragedy, if you look at that video, not the edited version that television stations show, but if you look at the raw video, it does raise right. many more questions than it answers, I think.
It does. And speaking of the raw video, if you keep watching while the paramedics were working, the police officers off on the side, slumped down in that position. I've seen this before, Bob, and I covered cops for about 20 years here in Chicago. And this young officer goes to the sidelines and just sits down on a stump or something there, and you can see his head's down. He doesn't like what just happened. No, most police officers go through their whole career without shooting anybody. And he, another cop comes over to comfort him, and I'm just thinking about what's going on in his head right now, you know, that he didn't set out that night to kill a 13-year-old. But that was what happened, and it all happened very fast. And that's a matter of, you know, there's two sides to every story. So I'm not going to jump to judgment on that. But people in the Hispanic community in Chicago are calling for the feds to come in and investigate this case as a civil rights violation, just like the Rodney King case. So we'll see what happens.
Well, look, there's no doubt that we have to look at police training, police recruitment, but the great majority of cops are really, really good, caring people, and those good cops did not like what they saw Derek Chauvin do.
That's absolutely right. That was very important across the country. This 9 minutes uninterrupted as folks saw the life being drained from this man's body, and he was saying, I can't breathe. And even, you know, a little 9-year-old girl on the sidelines was saying, get off of him. You know, little moments like that in this trial were just amazing. And the prosecution did a brilliant job, and the defense was very weak. And you know, when they were reduced to bringing on a doctor, a former medical examiner from Maryland who wasn't even there, he talked about how George Floyd's death was inconclusive, his physical condition, etc. I mean, it was breathtakingly. I'm not sure what word to use. I don't want to say naive. Mm-hmm. It sounded naive. Mm-hmm. In any case, I said, I hope the jury doesn't buy this. Well, the jury was only out for less than a couple of days mm-hmm. total. And came back. When they came back in, I said to myself, I'm sorry, they're going to say not guilty. It's, when the jury comes back in that fast, on a case like this, it was just something I normally don't make predictions on something like that, cause I think I'll jinx myself, but this time I did it, and it turned out, yeah, it was just that obvious.
More to come from Clarence Page in the Chicago Tribune and at chicagotribune.com. Mary Mitchell had a pretty good lead line in the Sun-Times today, Clarence. She just wrote, mm-hmm. "Finally, we can breathe."
Finally, we can breathe. And that's what the people on the streets in Minnesota were chanting last night. I can breathe now. I can breathe now. Yeah. It was really the whole nation's breath was being held.
Yeah, and many people are pointing to this as an important point, one that may be remembered, much like the network news images back in the 60s of the civil rights marchers. It could be.
That's right. Yeah, Bob, as I said on your show before, as one who can remember those days, I was so gratified over this last year to see how, by my count, the majority of marchers were not black. You had people of all races out there mm-hmm. going out of their way just because the injustice was so dramatic, and people said, "I got to get out and do something."
Historic.
And we'll be talking about the pandemic and its impact, too. Folks were forced to stay home and pay attention more over this year. Maybe that made a difference, too.
Yeah, it probably did. Always good getting your perspective, Clarence. Have a great day, and thank you for your time this morning.
Always great to talk to you, Bob. Thank you.
Take care now.